Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, inviting you to visit us at denverbiblechurch.com on the web, or, hey, come on out this Sunday in person to 6200 West Hampton near Hampton and Wadsworth. But this is our Denver Bible Church update, so stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live. But first, Doug McBurney's here. Hey, Doug. Thanks for joining me on Friday nights.
Well, it's great, Bob. Thanks for providing Denver Bible Church.
Well, it is. It's an enjoyable group of people, isn't it? The families.
We got a great bunch. Great bunch.
Yeah, and it's a place where families could come, bring their kids,
right.
And there's not, you know, a lot of even religious functions. There's a lot of worldly temptations, opportunities.
Yeah, like all that stuff that's been on ABC this past week on Nightline. I don't know if you watched any of it. They were running a special on a church youth group retreat where young men and women are sent off to a place and they're all put in hotels, and then they have like a preaching contest to see who's the best preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, no matter how grounded my daughter was in the Bible, as a teenager, I would not want to send her off to another city to stay in a hotel with a bunch of people and the youth pastor to participate in the, you know, whatever they're participating in.
It's so dangerous. And so many churches, I don't think, have an understanding of the danger where, you know, there's a neat little church down south.
Yeah.
And I won't give the name of it. And there's a pastor who has a 20-year-old daughter and a nice young Christian guy in the church, wanted to help out around the church but didn't have a place to live. So the pastor and his wife say, well, you could move in with us and our 20-year-old daughter.
Oh, boy.
And he had a 20-year-old guy.
Oh, man.
And so he's been living there now for quite a while. And, you know, the pastor and his wife regularly leave. They leave, and the two are home alone.
Yeah.
In the backyard, squirting a hose on each other, wrestling with each other.
Thumbing through some scriptures.
Right.
Yeah.
And so so many churches today, I think that there's not enough wisdom in the administration of the church, in this one area in particular, of how to deal with young people. And is it okay to have a church youth group where the young people, sometimes they wrestle together, you know, they got a couple couches downstairs.
Couches?
Sit on each other's laps.
No couches in the basement, no wrestling.
No?
No, not at our church.
Not at Denver Bible
Church. We don't have
any
of that. Not that we don't have a lot of young people. We got a lot of young folks at the church.
Well, we've got young people, families, lot of families, a lot of babies been born.
Yeah, we got 12 babies. I was just doing a tally, 12 babies. Now, coming up on 3.5 years since the church was, 12 babies, no divorces.
12 babies born, no divorces.
No divorces.
How many of the babies born to unwed mothers?
No, they were all wed.
Oh.
Yeah, they were all wed and continue to be wed, which is important for the children.
And the fathers are actually the husbands.
Right, they're the husbands.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
We're going to upset the national demographics.
That's right.
The census, the U.S. Census, is going to see this blip at Denver Bible Church.
Right.
Where families have integrity.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we're teaching to be able to recognize the destructive influence of the world.
Yeah.
And don't just be blinded by it. Even the churches can easily be blinded by it. Recognize it and figure out the best way to deal with it.
Yeah. What I like about the church is it really, and this may sound, I think I'm lifting this material, but it's a hedge. It really is a hedge against the world. And I really feel that way about Denver Bible Church. It's a great place to come and not only just to talk with brothers and sisters and to strengthen each other and to discuss the problems that we all go through, but also we crack open the Bible on a regular basis.
And it's really fun.
Yeah.
In fact, come on out for our lively Sunday school class this Sunday. We're in the Gospel of Matthew at 9:30 in the morning, or our worship service at 11 o'clock. You get to hear Doug sing also.
La, 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 la.
Or our Sunday night Bible study in Colossians at 6. Again, we meet at 6200 West Hampton. Call us 463-1707.
Service with a weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart in the country. In Colorado.
Colorado, even. That's part of the country. You're allowed.
It is?
Yeah.
We're on KLTT here in
Some
Colorado.
Some people would say that it is the country.
It's God's country.
That's right.
We're on KLTT here in Denver, Colorado, and on the web at kgov.com.
And that's global.
That's global.
Global in its influence.
And when the space shuttle is in orbit on the web.
Right.
We're potentially extraterrestrial.
That's true. That's true.
See that?
So we have a wide-reaching influence.
One of the few extraterrestrial talk shows.
That's right. And the number to call if you want to participate in the program is 1-800-8-ENYART. And how do we what is that, 8-ENYART? 1-800-836-9278. I always have trouble transcribing that.
Doug, I never believed in alien abductions.
No?
Never.
Yeah, I
my whole
don't
life.
Think I have.
You know, and then my uncle Bert was involved with an abduction.
Really?
And ever since, Uncle Bert and, you know, now I've believed.
You believe in
aliens? I became a believer. You know, once it happens so close to home that you believe it. And so Uncle Bert, he called me up, went over there, and right in his basement, there it was.
What?
He had abducted an alien. Feeding it things like,
what did it look like?
Honey Nut Cheerios is what it would eat. That was about it. But that was my first alien abduction.
Wow.
So now I believe in them.
So now are you allowed to keep something like that in your basement?
People are so weird, you know. They believe in aliens.
Yeah.
But they don't believe in Jesus Christ.
Right. They don't believe that there's a creator to this vastly complex universe, yet they think there's a good possibility that there's aliens out there.
UFOs have been just circling the globe.
That's right.
Since the 50s. How many decades ago?
Yeah, the 50s is when they really started getting interested in us for some reason.
Area 51.
Yeah. They laid off for thousands of years, but in the 50s.
Yeah, and there have been about 50 different species of aliens.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And people believe it by the gazillions.
Yeah.
And they also think we didn't go to the moon because the flag was waving.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right? And Elvis is alive.
Elvis is alive. Michael Jackson is heterosexual. I mean, people believe all kinds of crazy things.
Hey, America, give it credit. America is the only country in the world where a poor black boy could grow up to be a rich white woman. I mean, come on.
Well, Bob, speaking of the country, now I know you're a big fan of justice. Now, this is not going to be slam Michael Jackson hour.
No.
Now, you're a big fan of justice, and I know not justice as it is practiced particularly at this point in history, but justice as a concept.
Yeah, right.
You're a big fan of justice. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, God is a God of justice.
Yeah.
And when there's no justice on earth, people doubt the existence of a God of justice.
Yeah.
And when they see justice on earth, then it's easier to witness to them, to evangelize, to get them saved, because they intuitively believe there's a God of justice because they see it around them.
Right. Well, if a good, solid Christian church is a hedge against the influence of the world, then the Supreme Court of the United States is a wall against evangelism, especially this week. This is the blackest week in American justice since 73.
30 years.
Yeah, it's in 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
And it's good that you didn't say ever.
No,
because this is the worst in 30 years.
Yeah, it's the worst in 30 years.
Because murder is worse than adultery and homosexuality.
Yeah, murder is worse.
So 30 years ago, they legalized murdering unborn children.
Yes, they did.
And we've had now over 40 million babies murdered.
Yeah.
So this week, what did they legalize? They legalized.
Well, we can't get into what they legalized because it's too gross to get into actually the details of what exactly was legalized.
Is this an H-free zone?
Well, it's just a gross-free zone.
This month on Bob and Yart Live, gross-free.
When they legalize something that you can't even discuss.
It is gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember, but people could be conditioned.
Oh, sure.
They could be conditioned to accept the most vile and disgusting things, and then they get used to it.
Oh, yeah. I saw a poll. Now, we all know that the Supreme Court legalized sodomy.
Homosexual acts.
Yeah, not gay sex, like they said on CNN, but sodomy, like they say in Genesis.
Yeah, homosexual acts.
Okay, yeah. They legalized that type of activity. And there was a poll on one of the news channels that said some 30 8% of people over the age of 60 are tolerant of homosexuality or whatever you want to call it, gayness, whatever they call it, 38%. Now, if you look at the generation 30 years and younger, 70-some-odd percent believe that homosexuals are normal, they should have equal rights, they should be able to get married, have animals.
So we're getting more accustomed to it, more accepting.
Yeah, and the generation, my generation, unfortunately, the younger folks growing up, they're going to control the Supreme Court in 30 years. Or we, I guess.
And even though those numbers are undoubtedly true.
Yeah.
And the percentage of young people, say in high school, junior high, college, that are experimenting with bisexuality, the percentage of girls is huge.
Yeah, off the charts.
It's a huge percentage.
Yeah.
And so if we were born this way, it turns out that 50% of all girls have been born this way.
Oh, yeah, right.
50% in just in the last 30 years.
Right. And there seems to be more and more born that way.
Let's make it the last 10 years.
As time goes
on. Yeah, but until there was this full court press to condition Americans to accept homosexuality, I remember back in the 70s, a movie. I forget the name of the movie, but you know who I think was in it? The Superman guy who's now paralyzed.
Yeah, that guy.
Quadriplegic.
Yeah, yeah, Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve. I think he was in the movie, and it was some kind of crime drama or suspense movie.
Yeah.
And at the end, you're thinking the wealthy guy's killing his wife, the, you know, who done it?
Right, right. One of those deals.
And it turns out that you think this guy did it and that guy did it. No, they didn't do it. Really, they were homosexual partners. And at the very end of the movie, you know, it's a very suspenseful, dramatic, real twist, unexpected. And they gave each other a one-second smooch.
Really?
And I saw it, and the audience, the theater was packed, and the whole audience went, ugh, like that.
Well, no kidding.
The whole audience were just disgusted.
Wow.
And so, but you could condition people. Like, let's say you're a German soldier, and you get assigned to kill Jews in a concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your first day, it's a bit rough.
Yeah.
And then eventually, after a few months, a year, you're doing it with gusto.
Sure.
Yeah. With relish.
Mm-hmm.
You're just doing it. It's your job. It's fine. So people could easily, their conscience could become seared and their hearts become hardened. And no matter how vile or evil the wicked is, they become accustomed to it.
So I think that this decision this week puts the lie to the phrase, you can't legislate morality. Because the Supreme Court is legislating morality. That's what they're doing. Now, they're legislating it downward from where it was.
Right.
But they are legislating morality because now a generation of young kids right now who are too ignorant to even understand the Supreme Court, their whole lives will grow up under the influence of this decision, the replacement of truth, justice, and liberty with theft, murder, and sodomy.
Right. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Your Live. And our phone number for calling into the show is the same as the number for the order desk. And that's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. And just today, Doug, a friend from Indiana, Delphi, Indiana, called up and said, you know, he's been concerned. He's been emailing me for a year about jobs in his industry going abroad. And sure enough, his plant was just closed down.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
what he's
out of
his
work.
Plant?
I don't recall.
We'd
maybe
not.
Auto parts.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a tough industry right now.
So he called up and he said, Bob, we need to we subscribe to the monthly sermons and the monthly Bible study album. And so here's what we need to do, the monthly Bible study. So here's what we need to do. I've lost my income. We've saved up money. We've been good stewards, but we're cutting our expenses. We need to cancel the monthly sermons. We want to keep up going with the monthly Bible study album.
Wow.
And when we catch up to you, then we'll switch back to the sermons.
Oh, wow.
Because the people getting the Bible studies, over time, they catch up.
Right, right.
Because we you know, there's not an infinite number of them.
That's right. It's real time. Eventually, yeah. they get into the real time.
We're creating these Bible study albums as we teach the Bible studies.
Yeah.
And so he said, when we do that, we'll switch. But that really presents a need, a bit of a need for Bob and Eric Live to stay on the air. In fact, we have gone off the air in our other cities.
Right. Just in Denver now.
We are now on only in Denver and on the web at kgov.com. So if there's someone out there who says, you know, I've been listening to the show, I like this show, but I've never tried to help it stay on the air. You know, Bob and Eric Live being on the air is not a guarantee.
No, it's not a guarantee.
It's not like death and taxes.
No.
No. Bob and Eric Live on the air could easily go away.
Yeah.
But with your help, we should be able to stay on the air and continue to reach more people and talk about the Bible, conduct the kinds of debates we're doing now on with an atheist on theologyonline.com.
Yeah, and when folks sign up for the monthly resources, they get a continuing education in the Bible every month, new material, exploring new aspects of the Scriptures. It's exciting.
So the monthly Bible study or the monthly sermons, call us 836-9278, 800-836. one 800 836 9278 1-800-8-NYARD. So, Doug, we're in the midst of talking about this Supreme Court ruling. You know those percents you gave of the generations?
Yeah, 30% of the old people, they're not tolerant. 70% of the young people are tolerant.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's say you've got a young mom and dad just out of grad school. They've got a couple good jobs. And she becomes pregnant,
yeah.
Which in and of itself is a crisis as to, you know, all these years getting a degree and all
right.
that money.
Right, and all of a sudden.
And now we're going to let some minimum wage workers at a daycare hear mommy for the first time.
Right.
But anyway, they're going to have a baby, and they say to each other, wouldn't it be great if it's a homosexual?
No, I don't.
They don't say that.
Even the young folks.
Even the ones who are tolerant don't say that.
Right.
And if you go back to before the country was conditioned into thinking that perversion is good, mm-hmm. if you go back then, for the most part in the history of the world, there have been 2 billion mothers that have had children.
Yeah.
2
yeah.
billion mothers that have had children that have not hoped their child would be a homosexual.
Well, Bob, that's only because of the oppressive nature of our culture. If our culture wasn't so oppressive, we would be able to celebrate our child's homosexuality even before it was born.
You can't oppress the hopes of a mother out of her heart for her child.
No, well, now that's true. Very
you
good.
You can't do that. Even if it's you're living in the worst oppression and slavery and misery in the world, the mother will hope better for her child.
Yeah. You know what? She was born that way.
Yeah.
She was born that way.
And so 2 billion mothers can't be wrong.
Yeah. We should put some kind of poll up on the web to ask mothers, expectant mothers especially, list the top 10 things that you hope for your child.
Right.
And I wonder where homosexuality would come in. Now, marriage and procreation may hit the top 10 in an awful lot of those lists.
I hope that he's successful, right. married, has children.
Has my grandchildren, yeah, right? Great right. education, makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
It turns
successful,
homosexual.
Becomes homosexual.
Doesn't fit.
How about shoots, you know, does crack.
Right.
Hope he does crack, becomes an alcoholic.
Drops ecstasy, smashes
stripper,
a man through the windshield.
Becomes a homosexual.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Prostitution. These are all the things we hope for our child.
Yeah. And we're born that way.
We're born that way.
Yeah,
and then
but
we
spend
could be
our whole lives
out of it.
Yeah, being educated out of it and taught
right.
to deny it.
Doug, I do think that I'm going to have to, in my own life, I think, you know, this show started in 1991, 12 years ago.
Right.
Bob and Eric Live. And we very consciously came up with a strategy for dealing with homosexual issues,
yeah,
where we were going to the three R's, we're working toward restigmatizing homosexuality.
Restigmatize.
Recriminalizing it.
Whoa, recriminalize.
And getting them to repent.
And repentance.
Right.
The three R's.
Right. In that order. That's the order of the most important.
Oh, really?
For public policy.
Now, is that very Christian of you to put repentance there at the back end of that there?
Well, sure, because we can't force someone to repent.
Now, that's true. You can't shove your religion down someone else's throat.
But you can personally stigmatize a behavior. You can try it. Like if somebody in the workplace, let's say somebody in the workplace, what's a bad habit at work?
They smoke at their desk.
They smoke at their desk. And so somebody in the next office says, ew, what's that smell?
That's gross.
So they're stigmatizing that behavior. They have the power to do that in their own little sphere.
Right, right.
And you might not care, but the boss might not outlaw smoking, the government might not, but you're stigmatizing.
Right, you're doing your part.
And peer pressure is intense.
It is.
In Europe, for many years, they try to outlaw beards.
Yeah?
Yeah, and no facial hair.
Is that right?
Kings gave decree after decree, and people violated it.
Yeah.
And then the fashion changed, and it was completely unfashionable to have a beard, and all of Europe was shaved overnight.
Is that right? So it was the peer pressure that worked.
Peer pressure isn't, just wildly intense and effective. And so you re-stigmatize homosexuality so people don't go down that road to begin with, so that their lives are not destroyed, because most homosexuals will not be converted by Christians.
No, that's true.
Most will not. Most atheists, most whatever you want to say.
Right.
Because a minority, a few, Jesus said, narrow is the way.
Narrow is the way.
For those who repent and are humble.
Yeah.
So you want to help people to avoid to go down that destructive path, that such a perverse path to start with, and then re-stigmatize and then recriminalize. That's a long-term goal. Somehow, when slavery was legal, there was no way to make it against the law.
Right.
You couldn't criminalize it just by saying it should be. But the country went through a huge, painful, terrible time, and eventually that kind of racist slavery was abolished.
Right.
So we need to re-stigmatize homosexuality, eventually recriminalize it, and meanwhile try to get people to repent.
Right.
That's the strategy. But I'm making some tactical changes in my re-stigmatizing.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, okay, what exactly are you...
I'm making tactical changes.
Okay.
Because just like with abortion, fighting abortion back in the late 80s, early 90s, the Christians really went all out to try to fight to stop abortion, and we started doing rescues.
Yeah.
And we had over 40,000 people arrested and peaceful, nonviolent Operation Rescue events all around the country. We saved thousands of babies during that time period with all our protests and rescues.
Yeah, and kept thousands of mothers from becoming murderers.
Yeah. It was a very exciting time, but partly through our own poor leadership and a lack of wisdom in the rescue movement, and partly for external reasons, we failed.
Yeah.
We failed, and the pro-aborts, the liberals, the Republicans, and the Democrats won. And so if you rescue today, say you're a father or a mother, they'll put you in a federal prison for years and throw away the key.
Right.
So we had a bit of a momentum going, and it was a strategy. And the tactic of rescue was it started out being effective, but then we didn't win that battle.
Right.
We lost that battle at that time. And so that tactic is no longer viable.
It's not viable.
It doesn't work. Because if you do it, you could do it, and then you go to jail for
15 years, maybe. Minimum.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And
lose your home, your job, any finances.
Yeah, your family. And then you could have a ministry in jail, and someone who is willing to do that because the circumstances of their lives make that doable, then that's great.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Go rescue. Right.
Chain yourself to an abortion clinic.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But But for most of us, that strategy, well, that tactic is no longer viable.
Right.
So I think the same thing for me has happened with homosexuality. Back, you know, we Christians, we love Ronald Reagan. And, you know, he seemed to really be against abortion. Tragically, he appointed Supreme Court justices who don't believe the baby has a right to life,
right,
and that the government needs to protect that right to life. So he erred terribly in that respect. And the Republican Supreme Court we have now, is it mostly a Republican court?
Thank heaven we at least have a Republican Supreme Court. That's all I can say.
Oh, really?
You know, if everything has gone bad since Bill Clinton, at least we can hold on to the one thread of hope that not only do we have a Republican court, but with George W. Bush, we can look forward to a future with a Republican Supreme Court.
A future? You know, he might appoint Alberto Gonzalez.
Oh,
his
yeah.
White House counsel.
Alberto Gonzalez. I've heard the name.
Yeah, he's his White House counsel.
Yeah, I heard that's...
Pro-abort, right?
Yeah, it's actually Spanish for David Souter. Yeah. Alberto Gonzalez. Yeah. Little Spanish translation.
Alberto Gonzalez is Spanish for David Souter.
Now, only the smart people in the audience get that.
Well, who are up with current events and politics and Washington. But George Bush appointed David Souter with the support of the Christians, the conservatives, the pro-lifers.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were people like me back then saying, don't you remember that these judges that we get are bad? And so anyway, he's a radical homo, pro-abort,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, you were the voice in the wilderness.
As bad as they can be.
Yeah.
But now... now we have a Republican Supreme Court, 7 out of 9.
That's right.
7 out of 9, but still we get rulings like this.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, at least we can hold on to that hope, Bob, that George W. Bush is going to save us with his selections, which he's probably going to get 2, huh, you think?
Well, that could be.
He's probably going to get 2 selections.
You know, liberals on the court, including the ones appointed by Republicans.
Yeah, all those liberals.
Are going to want to hang in there until a Democrat gets elected.
Yeah.
But so we love Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan appoints George Bush Sr. as his vice presidential running mate.
Right. And heir apparent.
Nominates him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so after 12 years of Reagan-Bush, you know what happened? The homosexuals went from an almost insignificant peripheral extremist voice
right
to a leading political power in America.
Sure, yeah. Pouring out of the closet left and right onto our television screens, into seats of government, into controlling the education infrastructure.
Yeah. From 1980, Ronald Reagan,
yeah,
until George W. Bush got out of office, from the 80s to 92, George W. Bush and Dan Quayle. By the way, it was Bush and Dan Quayle, the first presidents ever to invite homosexuals to the White House.
Ew.
To the White House officially.
Yeah.
To figure out how we can work together.
Yeah, how we can work together.
Yeah. Jimmy Carter didn't do that.
No way.
It was the conservative Republicans.
Yeah, it was the Republicans.
Yeah. And Indiana's own Dan Quayle, no less.
Yeah, Dan Quayle. Mr. Conservative.
So that when we started Bob and Yurt Live back in 1991, homosexuality was becoming a significant force, a voice to influence government, but it wasn't there yet.
Right.
It wasn't there yet. It was still against the law in most states.
Yeah.
Companies did not give rights to homosexuals. Cities and states did not have pro-homosexual rights. We'll be back with the change after this. One-800-8-NYART live commercial break, and this is listener-supported radio.
That's right.
Listener-supported radio.
That's right. We're not on by magic.
No.
Right? And we're not on by fiat of the United States government so that we know that our bureaucracy will never end.
Right.
We actually have to pay the bills every month in order to stay on the air.
And some Christians, you know, Doug, Denver Bible Church, we have a bit of a different style than many churches.
Yeah.
But some Christians, when they see our financial difficulties and we're trying to keep Bob and Aaron live on the air so we can reach more people, and they say, well, you're doing this by faith.
Doing it by faith.
I correct that immediately.
Oh, really?
Say, no, we're doing it by stupidity. We're doing it by stupidity. I wouldn't blame this on God. What am I going to say? I say God's going to pay my bills? No, if I run up my credit card, if I run up my credit card, there's no way that God is going to pay it off for me.
No.
So I have to be responsible. And, you know, we take a bit of a risk, sometimes a bit of a too much of a risk. But with people out there in the audience who can help us out, then Bob and Aaron Live should be able to stay on for another 12 years.
And the quality of the material. I mean, Bob, God and the death penalty, the video that you offer.
The video.
And the material that you go through in the Bible on that video alone changed my life.
Oh.
It made me think of Jesus Christ as a powerful God of justice, someone who I could respect and really worship instead of a milquetoast, love and forgive everyone God that I couldn't understand.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It changed my whole outlook and
made
me interested in the Bible.
Just the death
again.
Penalty video.
That's just one of the videos, and there's dozens.
Dozens of videos, dozens of Bible study albums. We got a call today from Hawaii.
Wow.
By a guy from Maui who has read the plot manuscript we have, the overview of the whole Bible, and he's on the monthly Bible study albums. And he said that that he just started listening to Corinthians.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul wrote Corinthians. Mm-hmm. He said, it is so exciting. I'm just ecstatic at how fun this is to study the Bible and understand this book of Corinthians.
That's awesome.
And that's, you know, we hear that from so many people who sign up, who read the plot and sign up for our Bible study albums.
Right. So unlike a lot of ministries that spend a good portion of their program begging for money, we're offering you quality material that will improve your life. It will actually improve your life and improve your relationship with God because it'll help you understand the Bible better.
All right. So 1-800-8-NER or go on the web at kgov.com, kgov.com.
So truth, justice, and liberty replaced by theft, murder, and sodomy right here in America by the Republican Supreme Court.
That's right. And so I guess...
Well, I want to talk about your strategy change.
All right, and then we'll go to the calls. We got a call in Falcon, Colorado, and another from Compton, California.
Yeah.
At 1-800-8-NYART. Strategy change. I guess the homosexuals should be very thankful to the Republican U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, they should be signing them up at the log cabin Republicans left and right.
Yeah, Nixon,
left,
Reagan,
mostly.
Bush.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the guys who legalized homosexuality in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the judges they've appointed.
That's right, the Republicans.
Yeah.
Well,
7 out of the 9 are Republican appointed Supreme Court justices.
Right.
So, and we've long said that the battle, that the hatred that the liberals have for the Republicans is, I know they feel it, but it's got to be somewhat feigned.
Yeah, yeah, you'd think.
Because the Republicans are pro-socialism, pro-welfare, pro-unemployment, pro-Medicaid and Medicare, and pro-prescription drug benefits.
Oh, yeah.
And pro-choice, for the most part.
Sure.
And pro-homosexuality.
Pro-adultery.
And pro-adultery.
They're more pro-adultery than the Democrats.
Pro-pornography.
Probably. Yeah.
Pro-atheism as the curriculum in the public schools.
Right.
What else do you need? Did we mention pro-abortion?
I think you mentioned that.
Yeah.
So 1963, they kicked God out of the public square. 1973, they legalized the murder of innocent children. Now here we are 30 years from that decision. They've legalized sodomites pouring out of the closet left and right in front of us and our kids.
In 30 more years, what will it be with sheep
and children? I don't even want to go
there. It'll be legal, just like in Northern Europe.
Yeah.
Scandinavian countries, to have sex with young children will be legal. Incest will be legal. Because whatever boundary that exists, rebellion within man says, I'm not going to obey that.
That's right. It's not exclusive to the homosexual community.
That's
the rebellion.
I'm going to knock down that. God says sex within marriage. And the human being who resents God.
Yeah.
Says, don't tell me what to do.
That's right.
I'm going to fornicate. I'll have sex outside of marriage.
Right.
So and don't tell me what to do. I'll have an affair with a married woman.
Yeah.
So that boundary is knocked down. And then they say, don't tell me what to do. I'll have sex with, so they fornicate, a man with a woman, unmarried.
Yeah.
Then don't tell me what to do. I'll have sex with someone of my own gender.
Whoa, man.
And then don't tell me what to do. Once that's accepted, that's a new boundary. You can only have sex with an adult. Don't tell me what to do.
See,
I belong to NAMBLA.
We're gone. We're gone.
Once you legalize with children, don't tell me what to do. I'm a Homo sapien. I could do what I want with other species.
Whoa.
So once you start knocking down boundaries, there's no place to stop, not even in Falcon, Colorado. Stan, speak your mind.
Yes, Bob, this is Stan.
Hi, Stan.
How we doing?
Good.
This is Blue Bear's dad.
Okay, I recall, yeah.
I bought the tape.
I got it. It's an inside story.
Yes.
Go ahead, Stan.
My question was on the Supreme Court ruling. We heard that it was in Texas.
Well, that's where it originated, a Texas sodomy law.
Yeah, that's where the two men were arrested for.
It outlawed homosexual acts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in Texas, and as other states also still have had on the books, that homosexuality is against the law.
A crime, even.
Yeah.
This ruling legalizes it in the whole country?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so now we have a geographic block from Canada through our southern border with Mexico, right on out to Hawaii and Alaska.
I just heard you saying what is going to be next?
Well, they can't get across the Bering Strait into Russia because they're afraid of anything that's straight.
No, I mean,
so they're stuck here.
I mean, they're legalized this behind closed doors. Is it going to be incest next?
Well, that's the thing, Stan. They didn't do this behind closed doors. They did it in front of God and everybody
in
the TV
cameras. Yeah, but Stan means you can do this now in your own home.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way,
yeah,
you can do it pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, you can do it in Cheeseman Park. We know that.
In Denver, for over a decade, homosexuals go to Cheeseman Park in total public nudity, and it's legitimized in Denver. It's legal. Public nudity. You bring your family, your kids to Cheeseman Park, which would be stupid since it's right across the street from Queen Supers, the one homosexual grocery store in the Denver area.
Yeah.
But anyway, so incest next, eventually. Give it another 30 years. I've heard on Mike Rosen's show on KOA.
Yeah.
You know, right now we're on KLTT.
Right.
55,000 watts AM station at 670.
Right.
And the lower you are on the dial, the more powerful the signal.
Yeah. I picked you up in northern Arizona.
Cool.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Bob and Hurt Live. We get into pretty much every surrounding state from Colorado. How do we come in Falcon, Stan?
On KLTT?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we sound? 5x5?
I mean, is it strong,
or
the signal?
Yeah, it's real strong.
Wow, that's
great. We get a good signal.
All right. So anyway, go ahead, Stan.
Okay. I'm just wondering, I know we're not to question God, but what about all the innocent children that will be hurt by this?
Stan, your question implies that you're saying God did this.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, well then
I'm just saying that this law and then an incest law and rape will be, incest will run rampant, and innocent children.
Hey,
I know
Stan, could you speak up a little bit?
Yeah, I know that all these things are going to happen now to innocent children because of this law.
Well, Stan, evil, wicked, and terrible things have been happening to innocent children since Adam and Eve.
Yes.
So this law changes our circumstances, but in the history of mankind, it doesn't change anything. We Christians really have been spoiled because in the history of mankind, what's happened in America is pretty much unique for the most part in the history of the world, where Christianity has had so much influence and the gospel has been preached just pervasively through our culture and sent out around the world. And that pretty much has never happened in the history of the world.
Yeah.
From a nation. And so now we're getting a taste of what it's like to be just a normal human being at some random point in the history of the world.
That's right. We're wallowing in the third world now.
That's where morally. We
are. Yeah, morally.
Right.
Wallowing in the third world.
And it will most likely continue to get worse. And, of course, we will continue to fight because it's only right to do so, to warn people about the things that will destroy them and to offer them repentance and to urge the country to do what's right. But democracy, Stan, let me ask you, is the majority righteous or wicked?
Oh, they're very wicked.
Did Jesus say anything along those lines?
Oh, yes. He said the majority is always wicked.
Yeah, he pretty much said that.
Yeah.
And so if you have a democracy, which is a form of government that I despise, I hate democracy.
Sickening.
If you have democracy, then the majority rules. And since the majority is evil, over time, the country will become increasingly evil. There might be little bumps, you know, where the government does something appropriate, typically like, say, going after the Nazis in World War II. The government did that, and it actually maybe produced a little spike of some righteousness.
Yes.
Because liberals hate, you know, clarity and justice. They hate that. So when you have an evil enemy, you go and destroy him, that's justice. And so the truth has an opportunity there. But anyway, our country will continue the democratic slide toward the pit of hell.
Whoa.
It will continue that. And if ever our government is changed, completely new government, then we might be able to have a new opportunity. But as long as the majority rules, the country will not return even to the degree of righteousness we knew in the 50s or that we knew in the 1700s.
Right.
Or before.
Well, there's no hope until the Lord comes.
Well, I didn't say that,
oh.
But generally, I'd say that's where you place your bets, that things are not going to get better until the Lord comes back.
Right. And I only have hope for my own family and my circle of influence. That's the only place I really have any hope.
That's why churches are going to become, you know, the first sermon I ever preached at Denver Bible Church.
Yeah.
Do you remember what that was about?
Yeah, it was called What is a Church?
Hey, Doug, that's amazing.
Hey, I was there.
2.5 years ago. You remember the title of the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And I described churches as a place that it's sort of like circling the wagons in defending our families and loved ones against the world out there that wants to destroy us. And that's what churches will take on that role increasingly, even though it's always been there. So, right. Hey, Stan, thank you so much for your call.
Well, thank you, and God bless you guys.
God bless you,
Laurie
Stan.
Says hello.
All right. Well, say hello for us. And after this, California, and then our change tactic.
It's Bob Enyart Live right here on KLTT, the mighty blowtorch for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I stand corrected, by the way, earlier in the broadcast. By the way, this is Doug McBurney, co-hosting with Bob. And I stand corrected. Denver Bible Church has 14 babies, 12 who have actually been born, and 2 in the oven. Praise the Lord. And still no divorces. I do not stand corrected on that. But this is listener-supported radio, and we would love you to come and visit Denver Bible Church and become a part of all the great activity that goes on down there. But if you want to keep this broadcast on the air, you need to call 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-ENYART, and sign up for the monthly Bible study.
And, Doug, the monthly Bible study, it's, you know, we have these Bible study albums that for $34.95 a month, you start out with the plot. the overview of the whole Bible.
It's good to get an overview before you delve into all those details.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then you get the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so much fun.
Yeah. Now that tree, nobody's really paid that, at least in my life, yeah. my Christian life. Nobody ever talked about that tree.
That is so much fun.
Yeah,
what
the tree of life gets all the press.
Yeah.
But the tree of knowledge has an interesting and unique story
what
in and of itself.
Whatever happened to that tree? That's yeah. We talk about that. And then we go through Genesis and Exodus.
Tremendous. Yeah, yeah.
Get to the New Testament.
We hit Romans.
Oh.
Tremendous book.
Romans, the Gospel of John. Go through the book of Revelation. We have an album you get called The Last Days.
The Last Days.
You know, not only a verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation, but then a separate album just called The Last Days.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun. And how about an entire album on miracles and healing?
Wow. That's awesome.
If somebody listens to that whole album and they don't learn dramatic things about healings and miracles that they had never known,
yeah.
we will gladly refund their money.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Gladly.
Yeah. Because so, you know what it is there's a lot of information in the Bible, but it can be kind of confusing because there's so much of it. The Bible's a thick book.
God appointed teachers to teach.
That's right.
And we read the Bible ourselves. We go for other teachers, as I did for decades in my Christian life, still do. And then we learn and we teach others. 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. N-Yard, 1-800-836-9278. Doug, we had a call from someone at Denver Bible Church.
Yeah.
Three babies, three pregnancies.
Three as of yet undelivered children.
Yeah.
Three new members
of the
congregation. I know
we have a couple, you know, babies
well,
just
Well, you know what it
born.
Is, Bob, is we got so many pregnant married women yeah. running around that church that it's hard to keep
hey,
track sometimes.
You're 12. I don't think that counts little Marky.
No? So there was 13, and now there's
little
three.
Marky. Mark and Michelle Ross from up in the mountains west of Loveland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They live on Ross Mountain, Throne
yeah,
Mountain.
Their boy is cute.
Isn't he
oh,
cute?
Man. Tremendous.
And the little Desiree?
Yeah, yeah.
What a doll she is. And so I think that might be 14.
You're right. So I stand even more corrected,
because
but still.
They live so far away with their parents. They only get down, you know, once every month
I'm
or
just
two.
Saying, Bob, there's so
a
many.
A lot of babies.
There's so many, it's hard to get. But still,
it's
no
cool.
divorces. Still.
That's right. And we're going to work on that. In the first
That's
divorce.
Right. We're going to keep on working on avoiding divorces.
Terrible time of grieving.
Oh,
I'll tell
man.
You that. Okay. So, Doug, real quick, before we go to California.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, for the call from Johnny.
Yeah.
The change in tactics.
The change in tactics against the sodomites that are pouring out of the closet.
When Bob and Yurt Live went on the air, here's this battle.
Yeah.
Just like Operation Rescue had extreme tactics. We tried it. We lost the battle.
Yeah.
So the same thing with homosexuality. You know, I was able to see, just like many Christians, that the time was coming when the average girl in high school or college would explore bisexuality and thereby ruin her life.
Yeah.
I mean, it was obviously coming. And the disease, the destruction, the depression, the alcohol and drug use, just the utter destruction of America's moral foundation
yeah.
with homosexuality. So it was an all-out assault that I could do in my little life to re-stigmatize homosexuality
yeah.
with no holds barred.
Right.
So,
right.
for example, we sold Gay Away for men and Dyke Off for women.
Gay Away and Dyke Off, two of the most popular products to ever come out of the television
That's
program.
Right. And a lesbian call into the show, and we'd say, Jesus came to undam the dykes.
Yeah,
ma'am, Jesus
right.
came to undam the dykes, and there is hope for you.
They love that at the Denver Post. They love
but,
it.
Yeah, and we show We did the homosexual obituaries.
Oh, yeah, the
where,
obituaries. Oh,
you know,
boy.
Another homosexual died of AIDS or whatever, and then the newspaper stopped putting the cause of death at that
That's
time.
That's right. That's right.
But anyway, here's a homosexual, died of AIDS, and we put the average life expectancies up.
Yeah, I remember
and they were
that.
Dying terribly young.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to re-stigmatize in my own little sphere of influence, but the opportunity's gone. It's lost. We can't do that. So when I now re-stigmatize, I'm going to do it more subtly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be over the top. I will let people know if somebody calls in and says they're homosexual, I'll say, oh, that's really gross.
That's disgusting.
You know, that's gross.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't let you do that in front of my kids.
Whoa,
hold,
man.
I mean, hold hands.
Yeah, or yeah,
with some
even any of that.
Other pervert, but and so anyway, I'm going to limit my homosexual re-stigmatizing to somewhere around that level.
Okay.
And I think the over-the-top, just like with Operation Rescue,
yeah,
there was a chance if enough Christians were willing to join in, there was a chance to turn it around.
Yeah.
Because we had 40,000 arrests.
Right.
If we had 4 million arrests, you know, the government, the main goal of any government, you know what it is? Of any bureaucracy.
Is to
what is the number
maintain
one goal?
And preserve the status quo.
Yeah, their own furtherance of their own bureaucracy.
Right, right. Yeah.
And so when a government meets a situation that threatens to destabilize it, they
right.
will do anything.
That's true.
And so if 4 million Christians had said we're no longer going to allow people to kill babies in America, we could have stopped abortion. But it didn't work. And if, you know, Christians, and we were on in 80 cities around the country.
Yeah.
If Christians would have adopted a forceful effort to say, that is disgusting, that is gross, you know, peer pressure and stigmas are more powerful than laws. But it didn't work. It just flat out didn't work.
Yeah.
So I'm going to recognize that and make a tactical shift and still work toward re-stigmatizing, but at a different level.
Well, that would be a good way to keep yourself out of jail in the coming years.
Yeah.
Don't speak out too verbosely about homosexuality.
Oh, yeah. Remember when the county prosecutor was investigating me, wanted to charge me with slander for slandering a dead homosexual?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
We put up a picture of, I forget how we did that.
Well, you put up his obituary.
His obituary.
Yeah.
And it said sodomite.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
under it.
That was over the top.
But the Supreme Court says that today, sodomite. Oh, but then we changed it to ex-sodomite.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
Because
that's
even
right.
though all of Sodom is with him now in hell,
that's right.
They're in solitary confinement.
Yeah, they're not partying down
no.
there.
There are no drugs in hell. For the liberals tuning in, no drugs in hell. Okay, in Compton, California, Johnny, speak your mind. The rest of the show is yours.
Oh, great. Hey, it's good to talk to you both.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, God bless you.
Hey, if we went to Denver Bible Church, you guys would have an extra baby. We just had our baby daughter 3 weeks ago.
All
oh,
right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
What's the baby girl's name?
It's Melissa Grace.
Melissa Grace. What a pretty name.
Oh, yeah.
Way to go, Johnny. You're
hey,
the man.
Hey, and also out here in California, I'm a buffering counterforce against homosexuality.
All
I
right.
noticed that that not too many people are willing to say that they don't like it, even Christians.
Right.
They're just not willing to take that stand, especially the pastors and all.
Right.
But you know what I found? I find that people, when I speak my opinion on it, and I tell it like it is, I notice they're willing to more willing to listen to me because it's radical to them.
Ah.
So it's more interesting for them to hear what I have to say.
Yeah, there's the shock factor now.
Exactly.
It's so shocking
really,
to hear.
You know, the shock factor is what got me hooked onto your show.
But you
now
know what?
Shock.
Now, you know what? It's there big time, the shock factor, but it's not intentional. I mean, we don't do it to shock.
No.
We do it to say the truth and to try to say it as wisely as possible. But the
well,
truth
it turns
is
out, it turns out, Bob, that the Christian friends of mine who actually have integrity, they have actually become more conservative when it comes to tolerance or lack thereof of homosexuals.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Well, so, Johnny, you're doing your part in your little sphere of influence.
In California.
Awesome. Yeah.
Right.
Praise the Lord. How long have you, when did you first find out about this show?
Maybe about 2 or 3 years ago.
Wow. How did you find out?
How did I find out?
Yeah.
On Google.
On Google?
Google.
On Google. I remember I typed something in, and your show came up, and I listened to it. And
you Googled
I listened to one of your shows, and you're talking about homosexuals, and I was like, oh, man, this guy's way out. And so I did a search on your name, and I came to a Christian site that lists you as a hate site.
As a hate site.
Oh, no.
Right. So I was like, oh, this guy, Bob Enyard, man, I better... He might be one of these white supremacist guys up there. Stay away from him. So, but, you know, of course, because of the shock, I wanted to hear some of your other shows. It was nothing of the sort. Nothing
oh, no. of the sort. Right.
I mean,
what?
They
right.
call you a hate site, but, I mean, have they ever read the Bible? It's a Christian site.
Oh, praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Right,
and,
John.
You know, the homosexuals who we've prayed with and have become Christians and now have families of their own and kids and homeschool, they'll tell you that they got love here at Bob Enyard Live.
Yeah.
And, Doug, you know, nobody keeps records. We can't. But when we get to heaven, we can find out, you know, how effective were our ministries at bringing homosexuals to the Lord.
Yeah.
For example, you know, of every $100 Bob Enyard Live spends,
yeah,
how many homos per 100 have been saved?
Well,
I have no idea. It's, you know, it's a fraction of a homo.
But it's a winning investment.
Yeah.
In the when all is told,
that's right.
It's a winning investment.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. I don't want to get too personal, but this is kind of a personal question for me too. But when did you first realize that you were homophobic?
Well,
because
I
can tell you
a long time, but.
No, Johnny, I can tell you that for me. There was a time in my life when I was ambivalent about homosexuality. I had a live and let live attitude, and I considered myself, if not really a Christian, at least someone who, you know, read the Bible and grew up in a Christian home and lived in a Christian country.
Doug, I was never like that. You know, I always felt it was wrong. I always knew it was wrong, but because the church was taking a more tolerant stance, I was really trying to shape my own view to become
hold
more tolerant,
your own
but I just
standard.
Couldn't make myself do it.
So, Doug, how when were you born? What year?
I was born in 68.
And Johnny, how about you?
71.
So, and I was born in 59.
Right.
And I grew up, I didn't know what homosexuality was. But then, you know, gradually you start to get a little inkling, but... Boy, talk about gross.
Yeah, well,
yeah, really.
Times have changed.
I grew up before we were being conditioned to accept it.
Well, hey, don't get me wrong. When I was in high school in Texas, it was still an insult to insinuate that someone was a homo.
And here. And I've noticed that the same friends who were once offended are now tolerant. And
yeah.
I ask them, well, what is it that changed your opinion? And all they tell me is basically, hey, it's the year 2000.
Hey, but guys, don't give up heart because it's still an insult in many places.
We just got that from an actual high school age student.
Especially,
hey, what can I call about my original intent?
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
Johnny, listen, we're going to get your number and we'll call you back next week.
Okay.
So don't hang up. We'll keep you on hold. The call screener will get your number. But let's see. Is it still an insult? You know what? For guys in high school,
yeah,
it's generally still an insult.
Well,
but all the guys are hoping the girls are bisexual.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then they know if the girl is bisexual, it's a lot easier to seduce her.
Sure. Once that boundary's broken, you'll do anything. Anything with anything.
I don't know.
I think eventually. It's just disgusting.
Well, if you go out to eternity.
Oh, yeah.
But, once one boundary is broken, it's a lot easier to knock down other boundaries. And a guy who wants to use a girl is way encouraged if she's a fornicator, if she's a lesbian, bisexual, if she's violated her marriage vows. So, you know, sin leads to more sin. All right, Doug, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob, for keeping up the fight for truth, justice, and liberty against theft, sodomy, and murder.
All right, and this is Bob Enyard reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.